I've entitled my message, Two Trees and Two Kinds of Fruit. We continue our study in the Sermon on the Mount. Our text is Matthew 7, verses 15 to 20. But before we hear from God's Word, let's pray and ask for His help in understanding it. Father, I thank You so much for Your Word, that we have it in our own language. We are about to read the very words of life. We ask that You would apply the eternal truths that are spoken even here by Your Son, our Savior, that we might receive them in faith, be changed by them, and live a life that is pleasing to You. Bless us, we pray, by Your Spirit with understanding. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. In our last message, we heard Jesus teach about two gates, if you recall that. One was wide and one was narrow. Then we heard about two ways, one easy and one hard. Two groups of people, one large and one small. And then finally, we read about two destinations, destruction and eternal life. Jesus now turns in the next portion of the Sermon on the Mount as He's teaching His disciples to speak about two kinds of trees and two kinds of fruit. Two trees and two kinds of fruit. And Jesus begins our text, which we're going to read in just a moment, with a strong warning that we must be on guard, beware, for those who claim to be showing us the narrow gate and the narrow way, but they are actually directing us and sending us to the broad way and the broad gate that leads to destruction. They do this by way of their false teaching. So this is God's Word, Matthew 7, verses 15 to 20. It is His inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word. Jesus begins with, at verse 15, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits." False prophets are deceptive, false prophets are detectable, and false prophets will be destroyed. Those are my 3 points. False prophets are deceptive, false prophets are detectable, and false prophets will be destroyed. Verse 15, Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come into you, into your midst, in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Jesus says, first of all, the very first word of verse 15, beware. Another way we could translate this is watch out. Be on guard. Be ready to respond. Now, this word beware is what we call a present imperative. It's a command. Keep your guard up. Keep being vigilant and aware. Be ready to respond to those who would teach falsely. Notice the truth and the reality of Jesus' words. False prophets exist. You say, well, Pastor Chad, that's very simple. I understand that. He just said that. Beware of the false prophets. No, the argument is more subtle than that. Jesus wouldn't be talking about false prophets if that wasn't a real problem. In other words, truth exists, truth matters, and it can be distinguished from what is false. If truth didn't matter, or if truth didn't exist, Why would Jesus waste his breath telling his disciples to beware, to be careful? You see, what we have here is a powerful apologetic. Today, people say all roads lead to God. Well, that can't be, because some roads are false. Some ways are broad. Some gates are broad, and they lead not to life, but to destruction. Jesus says, no, some teaching is just plain false, wrong, even deadly. False prophets already existed in Jesus' day. And nearly every letter in the New Testament mentions some kind of false prophet. In fact, listen to Jesus' words in Matthew 24. And Jesus answered them at verse 4 of Matthew 24. Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray." And here it is, verse 5 of Matthew 24. "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray." Many will come in the name of Jesus, and many will be led astray. And then in verse 11 of Matthew 24, Jesus says, "And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray." And then in verse 24 of Matthew 24, "False Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect." In Matthew 10:16, we read, "Look, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves." And then over in Luke 10:3, we read, "Go, I am sending you like lambs among wolves." Notice here in verse 15 of our text, Jesus says, "Beware of the false prophets who come into you, who come into your midst in sheep's clothing." That's their outward disguise. "But inwardly, they are ravenous wolves." Well, can we even imagine what would happen if a wolf came into the midst of the sheep and there was no way to detect whether they were true or false? Jesus will mention in a minute there are ways that we can detect false prophets and false teachers. But right now they're coming disguised. They're deceptive. They're deceptive because they're coming in sheep's clothing, but they're actually ravenous wolves. In fact, Paul was very clear in Acts 20, verses 29 to 30. Remember this very well-known verse? Paul speaking in Acts 20, 29 to 30, "I know that after my departure," listen to what he says, "fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." And verse 30 goes on to say, "And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them." The false prophets and false teachers are wolves in sheep's clothing. You know, they don't just show up, false teachers, and say, "I'm lying. I'm deceiving you. I'm a false prophet." They use and abuse the sheep. They are not interested in leading you and I closer to the truth, closer to Christ. False prophets twist things to draw people away from the truth. They misrepresent the gospel. They make it hard to find the narrow gate, or they proclaim it to be too narrow, or they say that all gates lead to eternal life. Again, they may pretend to be part of the flock. They may have charisma. They may have credentials, and they may be able to relate culturally, popularly to you. But these false teachers are not going to tell you about the narrow way. They're not going to lay down their life for the sheep. They will use the sheep for their own selfish purposes. They are hired hands, as John 10:11-13 points out. They leave the sheep at the first sign of trouble. So, as to Jesus' point, we really need to ask ourselves, what kind of people do we allow to have mastery over us in terms of teaching? Are we learning from and listening to those who will keep us on the narrow road or deceive us and point us and direct us to the broad road that leads to destruction? Well, these false prophets, these false teachers are deceptive. That's the first point. Secondly, false prophets are detectable. False prophets are detectable. We read about this in verses 16 to 18 and then a little bit there in verse 20. You will know them by their fruits. In verse 16, Jesus says, you will know them by their fruits. He goes on to say in verse 20, thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Verse 16 continues, grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles. And then the question rhetorically is, are they? Are they? This is a powerful statement by Jesus. You will know them by their fruits. He says that in verse 16 and verse 20. The type of tree, teacher, will determine the kind of fruit, teaching, that it produces. Grapes do not grow on apple trees. Apples do not grow on grapevines. Figs come from fig trees and grapes from grapevines. Right? Don't they? Verse 16, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles. Are they? Now, it's interesting. Jesus may have been referring to what is known as the common buckthorn. This plant is native to Eurasia and the Middle East. It was introduced to North America in the 1880s as an ornamental plant. Its abundant fruit, that of the common buckthorn, is dispersed by birds and it spreads rapidly and it replaces native vegetation and it actually lowers species diversity. It overtakes things. Buckthorn berries, bark, and roots are toxic. Buckthorn berries, bark, and roots are toxic. The berries cause severe cramping for humans. Now let's just take this earthly illustration and make the spiritual application. What a perfect illustration of false teaching. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, are they? You see what Jesus is saying here? If he's referring to the common buckthorn berries, they're toxic to humans. He's saying this kind of false teaching is toxic spiritually. It will literally cause spiritual cramping. It is not good for us to sit under, to tolerate false teachers in our midst. And then Jesus also mentions that you cannot get figs from thistles, can you? The thistle flower, at least from a distance, might be mistaken for a fig. But get closer, look carefully, examine. Put it to the test. That's why Jesus says in verses 16 and 20, you'll know them by their fruits. Verse 20, thus you'll recognize them by their fruits. Well, what would the test be? What would the way that we test their fruits be? Well, Jesus mentions that there would be a test with the words that they speak and their walk. Their words, their teaching. You will know the false teachers and false prophets by their words and teaching and by their walk, their Christian testimony or lack thereof. In other words, their character and their conduct will be revealed. False prophets will be revealed by the fruit first of their doctrine. We may distinguish the false prophet from the true teacher of God's Word by the doctrine that is taught. First of all, we want to ask, in the testing of these fruits, is their teaching in accordance with the Bible? Is their teaching in accordance with the Bible? Does it line up with the gospel of Christ, that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone? Ask whether such teaching involves what I'd like to call bad math. Bad math. Let's use four operating signs: adding, subtracting, multiplying, and dividing. Number one, does such teaching add to the Bible? Let's test this doctrine of this teacher. Does such teaching add to the Bible? Secondly, does such teaching subtract from the person and work of Jesus? Does such teaching subtract from the person and work of Jesus? Third, does such teaching multiply? Does such teaching multiply the requirements of man-made laws and burden sinners with legalistic demands? Fourth, does teaching divide the people of God by way of creating strife and chaos and disunity? Add, subtract, multiply, divide, any way that you want to put it, false teachers are teaching bad doctrine, bad fruit. And what does the false teacher leave out of his or even her teaching? Hell, sin, judgment, the wrath of God, the call to holiness of life, total depravity, the substitutionary death and atonement of Jesus, and on and on and on. The key doctrines of our faith. You know, even in Christian circles, we can be open and prone to love the teaching of one single pastor, one single teacher, to the exclusion of all others. And we may think that a single teacher has a lock on the truth and be blind to even their errors. So, are we blinded to their rotten teaching of these false teachers, these false prophets, because of their eloquence, their personality, their charisma, their credentials, their ability to relate culturally, personally? Secondly, notice a test would be the false prophet will be shown by the fruit, not just of their teaching, not just of their doctrine, but of their character. Their character and their conduct, their walk, their Christian walk and testimony. Does their life display the fruit of the Spirit, or does it display the works of the flesh? Does their life show that they're under the lordship of Christ? And what happens in the lives of the followers of these false prophets and teachers? Does their teaching, these teachers and prophets that are preaching and teaching against what the Bible teach, does their teaching promote godliness, or does it incite their hearers to ungodliness? See, in verses 17 and 18, this is plainly what Jesus is saying. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. Let's put it another way. We call this a Hebraism. It's teaching the same thing, but in a slightly different way, and maybe even restating it. A healthy tree, verse 18, cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Anyone who has ever picked fruit from a fruit tree that tree has gone sour and tasted that fruit will get this illustration very quickly. Growing up in Florida, there were times when I was walking somewhere and there was a fruit tree, an orange tree, and I went over and picked that orange. But what I didn't know is the fruit had turned sour. It looked good from the outside. The tree looked good and the fruit looked good. But you pick an orange from what appears to be a good tree, but what you don't know is that likely maybe a freeze had come. Maybe at some point in that tree's life, a freeze had come. And nothing you do can change that sour, terrible tasting fruit to something that's sweet and delicious. It's a bad tree, and it'll bear bad fruit. False teaching comes from false prophets, not true prophets. Good biblical teaching comes from good biblical teachers. It's interesting, Jesus' words illustrated so powerfully by the Apostle John. In 1 John 2:26, the Apostle John writes, "I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you." In 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For," listen to what John says, "for many false prophets have gone out into the world." False prophets are deceptive and detectable by the fruit of their words and their walk and testimony, by their doctrine and their life. Finally, false prophets will be destroyed. In verse 19, Jesus says plainly, "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Some commentators have seen the language of every tree shifting from Jesus talking just about false teachers to everyone. And if that's true, then it's sobering to think that it's not enough just to examine others. We've got to examine ourselves. What do we believe? What kind of fruit are we bearing in our life? You know, throughout the Bible, fire is a picture of judgment. Fire consumes and destroys. The end of the false teacher is a signed, sealed, and settled reality if they do not repent and change their ways. Jesus says it plainly. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Every false prophet and false teacher will in the end be destroyed in judgment. This is nothing new. We are told all the way back in Deuteronomy, chapter 13, verses 1 to 5, an absolutely foundational passage for understanding how much judgment awaits those who are false teachers, false prophets. Listen to these words in Deuteronomy 13, 1 to 5. "If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, 'Let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them,' you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." You hear that? Test the fruit. Test the teaching. Test the doctrine. Verse 4, "You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice, and you shall serve Him and hold fast to Him." It concludes in verse 5, "But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has taught rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of slavery to make you leave the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall purge the evil from your midst." We know ultimately Jesus is saying the false teacher, the false prophet will be destroyed. Now that's not for us to do. Judgment is of the Lord, and they who teach falsely, who mislead God's people, will be judged ultimately by being cast into the fire. Even John the Baptist said in Matthew 3:10, "Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees." Listen to what John the Baptist says. "Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." You know, as Presbyterians, we have our church government as elders. the elders are called to protect the sheep, to watch after the spiritual interests of the flock, to protect them from false teaching. The elders of the flock, the elders of the church, protect the sheep from wolves. Our teaching and ruling elders take this very seriously. And as I briefly mentioned earlier, nearly every single book in the New Testament deals with some form of false teaching. Paul and Peter both talk very clearly about what we and they are up against. Listen to 2 Corinthians 11:13. Paul writes, "For such men are false prophets, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ." Everything that we just heard Jesus speak about, Paul illustrates here in 2 Corinthians 11:13. Such men are false prophets, they're deceitful workmen, they're disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And listen to how important this is for what Paul's about to say. "And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." Verse 15. "So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds." They'll be cast into the fire. 2 Timothy 4:3, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but will have itching ears, and they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." And then finally, 2 Peter 2:1-3, listen to these words that illustrate everything that Jesus has been saying in the Sermon on the Mount. "But false prophets also arose among the people. Just as there will be false teachers among you, you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Master who bought them." Denying Jesus, the Master. "Bringing upon themselves swift destruction," verse 2, "and many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed." And listen how it ends, verse 3, "and in their greed they will exploit you with false words." Doctrine, teaching that is bad, that is false, that is rotten, proved out in their way of life, in their greed, in their exploitation with false words. Beloved, as we conclude our message, we need to be careful which trees we pick our spiritual teaching from. We must ask ourselves, are we surrounding ourselves with good fruit from good teachers? Do we see fruitfulness in our own lives? And are we even now being conformed more and more by that good fruit, that good teaching, into the likeness of Christ? Because if we're not picking from those good trees, good fruit, good teaching, then we've got to ask ourselves, rottenness of teaching will lead to ungodliness, division, it's full of lies, deception, and it must be contrasted with that fruit that is full of faith and hope and love and godliness and truth. Jesus does not demand perfect fruit or a perfectly straight walk on His road, but He does call us to beware, to be discerning, to seek a life of righteousness, a life of fruitfulness. And that's the contrast between a deceptive, detectable, and ultimately judged and destroyed false teacher. Good teachers help us to bear fruit in godliness to the glory of God. There's no better way to conclude this message than with the words of our Savior. You might recall them in John 15. It's all about the fruit of the vine. We read here in John 15, 5-8 to close, Jesus saying, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it might bear more fruit. Abide in me, verse 4, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, Jesus says, verse 5. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, listen to the warning. Listen to the beware. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. Verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Father, I thank you so much for this powerful word that we are both to seek out biblical, gospel-centered preachers and teachers who will help us to bear fruit along that narrow way. And fruit that produces godliness and for your glory. Thank you, Father, for your love, your mercy, your grace, and your Spirit. Help us, we pray, to live in a way that is pleasing to you. We ask this in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen.